a pivot, even a forced one, or just one that's a natural one, is not about failure. It isn't. It's about, like I said earlier, evolution. You know, that means it was time. Whether you recognize it or not, it was time.
Amen.
So you've got to keep it moving. And as a Black executive, for sure, every time you step into a room, your presence brings about the fact that, you know, history is with you and behind you. Responsibility is heavy on you. And expectations. People are going to expect you to fail, and some are expect you to soar. But you've got to know for yourself exactly where you're going and who you're leading, and again, who you really are. And so your identity is so critical. You have to know who you are and love yourself, all of you.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black executive perspective.
BEP is on fire. Our audience is growing fast and the impact is real. Now is the time for your brand to grow with us and reach a highly engaged, influential community with real spending power. Don't miss this moment. Email us today at media@tonytidbit.com. Let's make it happen and put you and your brand in front of the people that matter. We are coming to you live from the new BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of the Black Executive Perspective Podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. Before we get started, we'd like to remind you to check out our partners at Code M Magazine. Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. Make sure you check them out. CodeMMagazine2Ms.com.
Definitely check them out. And so one of the things that I've learned in my career, success rarely follows a straight line. Sometimes the most powerful move a leader can make is to pivot. And I know that. We've been through that, right? Today, though, we sit down with Tashun Bolden Lewis, CEO and founder of the Bolden Lewis Consulting Group, to unpack what it really means to pivot with power. After nearly three decades in the Connecticut Division of Public Defender Service, culminating in a historic appointment as the first Black Chief Public Defender, Tashun understands what it takes to navigate high-stakes leadership, adversity, and reinvention. In this conversation, we're going to explore how leaders move from survival mode into strategic clarity and how adversity can become a launch pad for impact. Tashun Bolden Lewis, my sister, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective Podcast. What are you giggling for? Right? You know what I'm saying? Come right on.
That's giggling.
She happy to be here. Yeah, happy to be here.
Giggling,
I love,
you know,
it.
I'm
love it. Like, I'm, the energy.
I'm thinking maybe I'm Oopsie the Clown or somebody, right?
Anybody who knows me.
No, my sister, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So before we jump into this, because it's going to be a good one, I can tell already your energy is high.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you reside, maybe where you're from, that kind of stuff. What keeps you motivated?
Sure, sure. So hello again. So I'm Tashun Bolden Lewis, and I currently reside in Stratford, Connecticut, but I am from, born and raised in Norwalk, Connecticut. Yeah, that's where my beginnings are. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All Connecticut based, huh?
Yes. Okay. My people are from the South, but I was born and raised here.
But you keep it cold. Yeah, you keep it cold up there. That's what's up.
You see, they didn't go back down. You see, they didn't come up here, though, right? They stayed down there. It's too cold.
So let me ask you this, just for the people so they can get to know you a little bit better. Give me a high level of your journey, your career journey. I know Tony said some things about some things you've done from a legal perspective, but give us a little bit more of that. Color that in.
Sure, sure. So I'm an attorney by trade, and I started out in the late 90s, actually, as a per diem public defender. So my entire legal career has been with the public defender services here in Connecticut. Okay. And so I went up the ranks, you know, from, you know, getting $110 or so odd dollars a day to actually moving up the trenches, through the trenches, and getting into leadership positions. And ultimately, I became the head, the public defender over the Waterbury Judicial District. And then from there in 2022, that I became the chief public defender, the first black person to ever hold that position in the state of Connecticut. And then after that, 2024, I started my own business, which is the Bowdoin Lewis Consulting Group, where I do coaching, leadership development, workshop facilitation, as well as executive and personal coaching too.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, you know, actually, we're close by because I'm in Milford, Connecticut. So you're right down the road. We could have had you just come on to the studio, right? You could have been in here laughing and shit.
Exactly.
We had a little party. You know what I'm saying? Balloons would have been going off. And stuff. Exactly, bro. Exactly.
Food is always good. Always good.
We'll do that. We'll do that soon anyway.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this question, my sister. Obviously, you got a fabulous background. You're busy with your consulting work. I obviously traveled the whole nine yards. So why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast, talk about this topic?
Because as a Black executive, I think we need to have more of us talking to us about what things we encounter in these fields. You know, being exec, being in leadership, and being Black, it's a different animal. You know, when you're an exec, it's already a little bit of isolation there. But when you are Black and you're an exec, it's a different situation altogether. So I always feel it's important to hear from our own, to give us encouragement, hope, and also talk about the realities of what we're going to be dealing with. So that's why I wanted to be on here today.
Wow. Well, that's exactly what we want to talk. That's what we want to hear. And more importantly, you chomping at the bit, my sister. So you ready to talk about it?
Always, Tony, always.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I want to start out with you is, you know, we perpetually live in what we call the rat race, right? In the corporate sphere and everything, because we're in the microwave generation where everything is yesterday, yesterday, yesterday.
Yes.
How do you approach when you counsel or consult people? How do you approach them taking a step back and smelling some roses and making sure that they pause before they jump into something new or something next?
Yeah. Well, you said it. The first thing is that pause. It's strategic, right? We have to always take, whether it's a couple of days or even a week or so, to really get ourselves straight. Devoid of emotion, facts. We're dealing with facts. No more distractions. So we can see where we've been, where we currently are, and the direction we want to move into for our next steps. So that pause is critical. It's a critical part of things. You know, we have to be able to be stabilized and be able to really sojourn and make sure that the path that we are taking, our next steps, is what's best for us. Because, you know, it's about our well-being too, protecting our well-being. You know, self-care is kind of cliche these days, but it's a real thing. And when you're moving and maneuvering, you've got to make sure, because who else will take care of you but you, right? You got to make sure that you're thinking about and you are being cognizant of what's best for you. And then position yourself for growth. It's about positioning. You know, you got to reframe that thing and make sure that it is a next level step and not a step backwards.
Right. Now, let me say something, though, for the people. Yeah, you think that. But that the system is not designed to do that. It's, hey, I got this thing. What you think? Mm-hmm. Hey, something came up. Or it's always the car break down before you start looking for a new car. We ain't always out looking in the car that works that can be traded in appropriately. Mm-hmm. We actually wait until the last minute. Mm-hmm. In the idea of having the fortitude to tell somebody, thank you, but hold off. Let me marinate with that. Mm-hmm. How difficult have you found that to be with people that you speak with? Because a lot of times these blessings come up on us, yeah, and we feel a pressure to hurry up and make a decision, because that's how the design is. Design is hurry up, make this decision for this 60% of what it really valued at. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then this is not going to come back around, or you feel that, you know, you start to feel that on you. How do you get people out of that mode?
Well, to let them know that, you know, you control you. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you set the pace and the tone. It doesn't matter who it is or what is going on. You've got to be aware of the fact that, hold on, let me take a second and let me really evaluate to make sure this is best for me. You know, I think there's a concept called the warm no, right? And I think that's something that needs to go across boundaries, right? So instead of just saying, oh, you know, no, I don't know what I can't do it right now. You know what? I can't do it right now, but I can do it on Monday. It's the same kind of situation. You gloss it over so that it's on your timetable and not somebody else's. Because we're always moving too fast. And we need to slow it down. My grandma would always say, you know, pump the brakes. And she was right. Right. Yeah.
You know, that's right. You know, when we kicked this episode off in the description, we talked about, or we just, in the description, it spoke about success is not always linear, yeah. Right? And, you know, sometimes as a leader, you have to pivot, okay? And obviously you have some adversity that come along the way. And, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago, I had a life coach, and she you know, schooled me on this, and it kind of woke me up, and then actually it happened to me. She said, Tony, you know, I was about to leave this company, and she said, when you leave, you're going to be a little different. And I'm like, why? I'm looking forward to leaving the next step. She said, no, Tony. She said, the challenge is that most people look at their identity as the title of their job. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then when that goes away, they're all of a sudden like, who am I? What do I do?
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
Right? And I was like, for real? And she's like, yep. And it's so true because it happened to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have a crisis, right, when people experience a setback, okay, and when they've been rolling and everything's been good, everybody love them, you know what I'm saying? They at the water cooler, everybody's saying, hey, Tone, Sashawn, what's up? Blah, 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 blah. Then next thing you know, boom! And then you've been doing this thing for a long period of time. Yeah. And that's what everybody knows you as, including yourself.
Yes.
Okay? Including, which is really the key. Yeah. How do they reframe that moment into positioning versus panic?
Right. So, first of all, you said adversity, right? And so adversity needs to be seen. The mindset has to shift, right? It has to be seen as exposure, not erasure. Okay? It's a change. It's a transformation. It's an evolution. You got to see it as evolution. All right. And so this growth, you know, job loss, demotions, those are things that do happen, unfortunately, in life, you know, but it's strategic in how you deal with it. That's going to set you onto your next level. And so we think about the fact that, you know, it's a new season, right? Seasons change. That's a constant. Seasons do change. But what we do in those seasons is going to be what makes us get up on and move forward to the top. Right. And so we have to redefine, like you said, success internally. You know, it's about sustainability, adaptability, your impact, not just your title and your income. We need the money. Let's be real. We need the money. But we also need to make sure that when we rebound with our values intact. You know, that we are who we are supposed to be and have not been, you know, reduced, or we are shrunken, or we shrink by what someone has said, what has been done to us. So it is about that. And, you know, pressure can really move us to purpose and peace, you know, if we let it. You know, we have to be able to control that shift, and that starts and begins and ends with us. And make sure that we remember who we are and what we have to offer.
Let me ask you this, kind of based along those lines. I'm a girl dad, and I have two girls. And one of the things that's difficult now is they don't jump double dutch no more. And so with that, so what I mean by that is when I was growing up, you dumped double dutch. So you kind of knew when it was your time to bounce in.
Uh-huh.
Kid, the younger generation that I manage and that I raise, they are so quick to pivot. And the level of stick-to-itiveness is not there as much as it was in my generation, you know, and then you way younger than me, so it might be different for you. But the reality of it is, how do you mitigate when this is just a season or a tough go of it, or somebody says something left, or you know what? God is telling me this is time to move on. How do you create or identify those balances or teach people that, man, no, calm down. You've been at 4 jobs in 4 months. That's okay. Not a pivot. That's you running away from something.
No, that's impatience. People, right,
that exactly. Man. So how do you lead in that regard?
Identity. You have to claim and you have to sometimes name your identity for yourself. Right. Okay. And so it's not just chasing the money. It's not just chasing the title, not just chasing, you know, somebody else. But you have to be comfortable with who you are. And then you work within those boundaries. Right. Because if you are a person who is constantly moving, constantly pivoting, like you were saying, then you are unsure of exactly, you know, who you are. And there really is not a lot of peace there.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So cultivating that peace is going to be what's going to be important for you to be able to slow it down and then pivot with purpose and with power, really with power.
And so, you know, Tashawn, you know, I hear you. I hear you, right? But one of the things we always try to do is, you know, make things, you know, practical, real life, right? Because at the end of the day, when somebody finds out that they lost their job or, you know, their business just went under or, you know, something to that effect, they're emotional first, right? They're not thinking about pivoting with power. They're not thinking about being strategic. They're not thinking none of that because at the end of the day, something that they've been doing for a while, which again is part of their, they've created this identity with it. Then all of a sudden it's like the Matrix when they pull the plug out the back of your head. All right. You just fall over. All right.
So
my point is, how do in that moment when they're emotional, right, when they don't know where to go, where they feel wronged, where they feel like, you know, I can't believe this happened to me and what's I'm going to do and all these things, right? How do they get out of that and then get to that point where you talk about purpose and pivoting and knowing who you are and identity? Because most people want to get there. But they need to understand the widget in terms of how they make that transition from this emotional state.
Of course, of course. So your peer network, your family network is going to be critical to this, right? So even for myself, I mean, I had a good friend who he was the one who reminded me of my spiritual base. He reminded me of, you know, look at what you have done and don't let them make you think that you are not who you really are. So it is your peer base. It is your family, your village, as they say, but also this is the time to find that mentor. If you don't already have one, look for one. It's also the time to explore coaching. Someone who's going to help you look within yourself for the answers. This is also the time to do some professional development. You know, when I started the coaching situation, I didn't just say, okay, I'm a coach. I went and got certified. That means taking classes. You got to invest in yourself. When you invest in something, that means you are serious about it. So invest in ourselves first and then move on.
But I do like the point that you said, though, because all that makes sense. But the first part is because typically people want to put themselves on an island. Okay. Yeah. They don't want to talk to nobody. They don't want to share what happened. They feel embarrassed or whatever the case may be, right? But to your point, if that's when the time you really need to tie into your network, that's the time you really need your family because they're going to uplift you and not let you go down into, you know, a rabbit hole of depression or mad or, you know, stuff to that nature. And then if they, like you said, if they can give you that energy, now you can start thinking with clarity to do those other things. So I definitely agree with that.
It's a lifesaver and a life changer.
You know, one of the things that I tend to express to my clients is to memorize the Serenity Prayer, right? Because some things are well beyond your focus, your control, things of that nature. And so when you understand that and you really embrace that, that's good. But at the same point in time, change is difficult for anyone, right? And so being able to navigate change, and as Tony talked about, redefining yourself, sometimes it does get to you because especially for us, when we know when we did what we were supposed to do, And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And as you talked about your spiritual grounding, what's for me is for me. And I completely believe that. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to teach that in the moment. It's hard to teach that this one. I know the money was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the moment, that's the point. Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Man, I ain't trying to hear all that you spit in my ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in that, in those times where you say, listen, obviously, we could sit and whine and cry and pout about this, or we could, you know, dig in and say, what was this for? Why did this affect me this way? And what do I need to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? Mm-hmm. That is a good speech to have. My question to you, my sister, because of your experience, what happens the second time you got to get that speech? Because that's how life works.
Or a third
that's
time.
That's how life works.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Or a fourth time. Right. Or your wife is throwing your shit outside.
Right. Yes. What happened that second, third time? The repeats, the reruns.
Yes. Reruns.
What do you do then?
That's when you hone in on that mental calmness, your peace.
Okay.
You've got to focus in on the peace, because that is going to be a performance enhancer. That peace, right?
Okay.
So that improves when you have that peace, and when you have someone who is with you, or even if you're just by yourself, who is enforcing, you know what, calm it down. You know, really get yourself in a space where you can think. That's where you have the creativity that spawns. That's where you have your judgment gets better. And that's where you increase your agency, your executive agency. You know what I mean? So you can really make those power moves. But without the peace, it's very difficult.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
There's no question. And, you know, that's an excellent point. And it dovetails into what I want to chat about right now, right? And you talked about finding peace, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're taught in America that, you know, everybody's got a, you know, nose to the grindstone. You can't be successful unless you outwork everybody. And then you have to give up stuff. You have to sacrifice, right? And then when you go to Europe and you're over there, or you work, I worked at a company, global company, and that was headquartered in Amsterdam. And we had a New York, I ran the U.S. operation. However, you know, the mothership was in Amsterdam, okay? And I remember when, and we needed them for everything, okay? Because we didn't have the membrane. We had nothing. Everything was over there. We were outposts, okay? And I remember, so we need their assistance. And then I remember we were, me and one of my person on my team, she was like, Tony, we need, so we set up this meeting with, I forget, one of the engineers for whatever it was, right? So we explained to him, you know, that this was messing with our clients and we need to get this right away and they need it. My man was like, don't worry, I got you. I'm gonna take this and I'm on top of it. And we said, okay, right? Hung up. And then, you know, we expected my man to get back to us the next day. We ain't hear from him, right? So we called him. We were like, hey, where Lou at? Like, he went on holiday. All right. He was going holiday. He gone for like 2-3 weeks, right? And I'm like, but there was no sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. In that mindset, where the U.S. mindset is, I got to have it right here. I got to make it happen, blah, 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 blah. So how do people, you talk about peace, how do they challenge that belief that they got to nose to the grindstone and they got to sacrifice everything to become successful?
Well, see, that's where I'm totally different in my mindset, right? Because it's about self-worth. Yes, the title, the position, the money is important, but it will come when you know who you are. You know what I mean? So when you prioritize self-worth, when you prioritize, you know, my lived experience gives me an edge over half these jokers out here. You know what I'm saying? And that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
stand
that's true.
Out. Yes.
That's the bottom line.
You got to believe that and you've got to understand that. And no matter what is going on around you, that provides that platform of peace. And that also gives you the wherewithal to say that, you know what? I have my confidence across any season that's going to come around my path. That's where it comes from, that self-worth, that identity, and that understanding, that self-awareness. Because self-awareness is what helps people, especially when you're leading people, that helps people to understand that they have psychological safety when they're around you. Because they, you know who you are, and you know what they are doing and what they can do. So you give them that whole relationship that is filled with trust and respect. So when you know, everybody else knows as well. And you cannot pivot from that now. You cannot, you know, turn from who you are and knowing exactly what you bring, because then, you know, you're someone else's puppet.
Right.
What is your perspective? Because you said something about going in and obviously you had already went to law school. You had done all this other stuff. And then you went back and let some people teach you some more stuff.
Yes.
What is your perspective on people, especially? And I get this a lot from folks. They get into leadership roles and then they rest on their laurels. They don't continue to sharpen the knife or keep the training up or go back for more certifications or whatever. And then they think that, because it used to be a time where I started in the mailroom and now I'm the CEO. I worked here the longest. That's why I'm the highest.
Yes.
And that don't exist no more. That tenure, that work.
Not at one company.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. So how do you help people to understand, hey, I know you in that C-suite spot or you in that good spot and everything is good, but in order to maintain that or to reinforce that, you need to make sure you still reading and writing and doing different. How do you have that conversation with people to help them understand it's good now, but you got to keep it good with this investment?
Oh my gosh, it's about leverage. That's how you leverage things, right? So that the more that you are a continual learner, professional development is everything. It doesn't matter what sector industry you're in. The more you continue to do that and to buffer up, even just to refresh on fundamentals, it may not be to get another degree, it may not be, you know, something else, but just making sure, because everything is changing at warp speed, like you said, these days, right? AI is everywhere and with everything. So if you can maneuver those resources and tools that we have at our disposal right now, then you are the true asset. And you leverage that to make sure that you can not only stay where you are, but you can still move higher and higher and higher.
Especially today, right? Because companies are letting people go. It doesn't matter what level you are, or you know, low level, high level, mid level. You know, there's some type of what did you call it, Chris? What do they call it? Surplus, right? Surplus. You get surplus,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so it's important, to your point, right, to continue to work. Let me ask you this though: how do you, because we're now in moving, not moving, we're in the AI world. It's still the genesis of it, to be fair. And, you know, companies are investing billions of dollars. They are laying people off, even though if it's just for to make more money from the stock. All right. But there is a fear. A lot of people have a fear of that AI is going to, or where they work at, is going to replace them. And I don't think it's all that. But it doesn't matter. Right. They have that fear. Right. Yeah. So how do you deal with leaders? Or what advice would you give them when they see that they're hearing that this new technology that's coming, their company have already started investing billions of dollars and stuff to that nature, and how do they overcome this situation in terms of, to your point, being able to still show their value versus this new technology?
Well, that gives you the competitive edge, right? So when you are able to position yourself up with knowledge and information, then you become invaluable. Because again, all these things are tools and resources. They're not going to replace, you know, necessarily everybody. But if you know how to control it, if you know how to command it, if you know how to pull things out of it and extract from it, then you're not going to be replaced, because you are vital to the organization's growth and the agency's expansion. So when people have fear about AI or anything that's new or different, you have to channel that into curiosity, so that you can actually be the leader, be the one who is teaching somebody else how to maneuver these new tools, how to do what's necessary. You know, just like in Hidden Figures, the Dorothy Vaughn, right? When the computers were coming in, IBM was bringing in the computers, they were going to be replaced because they were the human computers at the time. But the real things were coming that were going to do the calculations without, you know, in warp speed. But what she did was go to the library, well, the white library, to get the book, because the black was in heaven. Go to the library, learn that thing, and then she was able to not only control it and do what she needed to do, but she could teach somebody else. So she became invaluable. You know, that's what we have to do. Channel the fear into curiosity and learn. so that they can't, well, they can, but they, it makes it harder for them to bump you out.
No question.
See, the tough thing that I have with you is it sounds like a lot of work. Sound like a lot of work need to be done. And there was a time and place, and I'm going to ask you, when did this shift occur? There was a time and place where you could go ascend to a certain level and then just kick your feet up, put your hands behind your head and get on base, mm-hmm. and just ride this thing out until they gave you a pension and blah, 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 blah. But now what we have to come to terms with is you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to constantly be reinventing, reevaluating, yeah. regrinding, reintroducing. Mm-hmm. When did that shift, as far as in your perspective, when did that shift come about to where it was no more on base and we never could be cool. Let's just keep it real. But at least in the regular world, it was a situation where you got people that was just big, fat, and happy, and mm-hmm. you could tell his desk dusty. Yeah. He ain't did nothing in 4 years.
Yeah.
When did we get away from that?
Honestly, the advances in technology. I mean, do you remember the original Terminator, the movie The Terminator?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Okay. And so that thing, right? It I mean, all of it's not true, but obviously when we started as a nation really moving towards having technology do what we do, but do it better and faster and, you know, more accurately than we can. That's when the shift began. And that's when it became harder for people to just sit back and say, well, I've accomplished this, just give me my check. Now we have to compete, not only with humans, but with the machines that we created. That's what it was. And so it is a lot of work. But you know what? What did Papa Pope say in Scandal? And it's true. And my mama, and I'm sure yours too, we got to work harder, 2 times harder. We got to do more. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it. It's mm-hmm. never going to be easy. You know, even when we've gotten to the top, the pinnacle, it's never going to be easy because they're still trying to tear you down. You know what I mean? So the work ethic has got to always be there. And you got to accept that and embrace that. And just know that, you know, until we do say, I'm ready to retire, you're going to constantly work and work and work.
So tell us a little bit about the Bolden Lewis Consulting Group. Tell us a little bit about, give us some examples of what you do and how you help.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, I'm a business owner now. And I'm my own boss, you know, and I love that. Entrepreneurship is a beautiful vehicle. So I encourage those to try to do it, you know. But I am a consultant, right? So obviously I've done criminal defense, but I know both sides of the field, right? So anything dealing with criminal law and things of that nature, I'm there to help and to give best practices, strategic planning, that kind of thing. But then, you know, I love building curriculum for organizations, nonprofits. I love leadership development, professional development, we talked about, right? Because leaders need to know how to really be leaders and know how to lead other people. And then, of course, being able to facilitate workshops, too. I love working with youth as well as adults, you know, to really talk about empowerment, skills, how to maintain and build skills. And of course, my coaching, one-on-one is wonderful, but it also execs, you know, when you are in an executive position, like I said, it can be very isolating. So you need to have someone you can confide in and someone who can help you to figure out what you need to do as next steps. So that's what I do. And I love it. I truly enjoy it.
How did you make that leap? Because from my perspective, and you can correct me, obviously, mm-hmm. being a public defender is an individual contributor role, is what they call it at my job, right? Like you, it's all on you. If you do good, you great.
Yeah, I see.
Absolutely. So, but you were able to transition that into a leadership role. And the one thing that we realize is there's plenty of people in the corporate sphere that were excellent individual contributors, and then they got promoted to be over people thinking that they could spread that thing. And was horrible, mm-hmm. horrible, because they had different expectations of people. They didn't know how to read people. They didn't know how to talk to people. Yeah. That kind of, I could just do it faster myself. You know, just give it to me. How did you make that leap from being an individual contributor, if you ever were, mm-hmm. to being able to cast your light on so many to help them get better?
Because mm-hmm. I wanted to. You know, you have to really want to do certain things in life, and then you got to go for it and with all you got. You know, some people are just fine with being, you know, in the trenches, and that's, we need that, right? And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you have your eyes set on advancement, that means you have to come outside of yourself, so that you can help somebody else. You know
Say
what I mean?
That.
And so that's what it was, because I wanted it. I've always been one who wanted to help people, you know, and so I've been blessed to be able to do that in everything I have done professionally and, of course, personally, too. So, yeah, it's a
That's
drive.
Awesome. That's mm-hmm. what I love it. Talk a little bit. Look, we've all had, you know, Chris and I talk about this. We have guests that come on talk. We've all had situations where we had to pivot, right? Where we had to, you know, make a left turn. And to be fair,
yeah.
Sometimes we didn't see it, okay? And it just came up and we had to do it. And then obviously there's a lot to go through that. And then you go through, you know, it's like going through storm clouds, right? All of a sudden it starts raining and you ain't got no umbrella. All right. And you getting rained on, right? With your best suit on, your best dress, right? And it's a light one at that. All right. But then all of a sudden now you got to reinvent. So tell us a little bit, you know, something in your life where you had to do that. And what was the learning? And I know you probably talked about some of the learning lessons, but what was the aha moment for you?
When it was all taken away, it was a forced pivot, right? I had to. So I had to take that strategic pause and I had to reassess. I had a family, you know, I have to pay bills, I have a mortgage, those kind of things. I have to make sure that I maintain my sanity and my health so I can keep going, because it's not just me. You know, it's never just me. I have
Right.
people that are depending on me, as well as those who are looking up to me to see exactly how I am going to handle the craziness that life brings every single day. And I'm fully aware of that. So again, it's about the intention. You know, it's moving from reaction mode to intentional mode. And that's what it was for me. You know, of course, it makes you sad. It makes you scared. It makes you doubt for a moment. But like you said about the rabbit hole, you can't stay down there. You got to get out of that thing. And then you got to start thinking about, okay, what can I do? Who am I? And what am I going to actually make happen for me? I'm not waiting for anybody else to give me some. No, what am I going to do to make this happen? Because I know I can. You know, my grandma always told me too, you know, they can take everything away from you, money, titles, cars, but they can't take away from you what you have up in here, your education. And I was blessed to have an education. So I already knew from the jump that I was going to be able to maneuver, because I know who I am. I know my
right.
skills, you know. No one can take away that confidence in me. You know what I mean? So I used what I had and I made it happen.
Love it.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a question, but then I'm going to tell you my story. Then you're going to tell me your story, okay? So how blindsided were you? Because it's totally different when you whistling and everything cool and they come to your desk with a box. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the? Whose mm-hmm. box is that? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, it's your box. So I was at a company, right? And they was making some changes. Things was moving. And the people that I was with on my team, my original team, we had got moved to another team. That was first step. Mm-hmm. And then my people started getting got, right? They was slowly. So I told my wife, I'm going to be the last one to go. Hey, I knew I was the man. I'm going to be the last one to go. Right?
Yes.
That's my
yes.
new goal. Be the last one to go. And so they finally came and tapped me on the shoulder. I had all paperwork severance. I had everything ready for them.
Yeah.
They was like, come into the office. We want to talk to you. No problem. Like, you know, I had taken all my CDs home. I wasn't even tripping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
so had all my music. Y'all ain't got to send me nothing. I got all my music at home. But when I got out of that and mm-hmm. I came home, I was like, I told my wife, it finally happened today. She was ready. I was ready because I had a family.
Mm-hmm.
Is it different, or how vigilant should we be without being paranoid? Because mm-hmm. it's a difference between mm-hmm. you always looking over your shoulder, thinking you the next, and then you can't really be productive. You can't shine in that space mm-hmm. as opposed to being aware.
Mm-hmm.
I had the foresight to be aware what was going on and mm-hmm. not take it personal. But how do you not take, how did you mm-hmm. get approached in the idea of your forced pivot? Mm-hmm. Was you kind of pissed for that 2-4 minutes? Or was you like, oh, I knew y'all was going to come get your girl at a point
yeah.
in time.
Yeah.
How did yours work?
No, I knew they were coming.
Okay.
I knew they were coming.
And I appreciate
so,
you.
Yeah. And so I was preparing myself mentally and physically and as much as I could financially, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
to get myself ready. Because, you know, That's one thing too, but you cannot live in denial. You cannot, I mean, you can, but it's to your detriment. You know, it's that's to your right. detriment, you know?
No, flat out.
Always be prepared. And so I was fortunate to know that what was coming down the pike, yes, like you. And for those of us who don't know, it's, we always have to have a plan B. We always have to have a plan C, because it's never going to be a straight line for any of us.
Never.
It's just never. They're going to throw a something in there, a wrench in there at some point in time, especially when you are thinking that everything is all good and I've done it and I made it. And
you're performing at a high level, right?
Yes.
And so you're like, wait a minute, why would they even come towards me?
That's right.
Because I've been the heart and soul of this place, right? Mm-hmm. I've been running circles around. But that don't matter too much today, right?
That's
it really doesn't.
Right. That's right. It's when you know you are the highest performer.
When you know you're the person, it flies.
Yes. That's when you are going to be the target.
That's when they're going to come get you. Because
that's
then,
right.
You know, it reminds me, well, my man, this dude, I used to listen to this motivational, a bunch of motivational tapes years ago. And my man, he talked about, he was an accountant. And then, you know, every time somebody got promoted, they gave him a rubber tree plant. And so he said when it's time for his promotion, he said his boss called him in the office and said, hey, Dan, you've been doing a great job. Right. So we're going to promote you. And he said, I don't think you can handle the pay, but we're going to give you this rubber tree plant. All right. So in other words, we ain't giving you no raise. We're going to give you a rubber tree plant. Right.
Yes.
But the point of it is that at the end of the day, you can perform at a high level. And I think the point here in terms of what you and Chris are talking about, mm-hmm. and I'll say it a little bit differently. When you got to be aware, you have to be seeing storm clouds. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you see storm clouds, it's going to rain.
That's right.
It's going to rain. And again, you have to be, you cannot sit there with your head down and be ignorant. Because I always say, if you were surprised, you wasn't paying attention.
Yes. Yes. 100% agree. 100% agree. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You got to pay attention to what time. If like Chris said, Chris was paying attention, right? He was like, look, they moving people out. So I know I'm just going to try to hold on as long as I can, get a couple more checks. And I would get my stuff in order, right? And then at the end of the day, they came over, right? And and here's the thing, though. There used to be a lot of shame around that, because at the end of the day, you know, back in the day, you did stay at a company 10, 20, 30 years, right? You did get a pension. And so if you did get fired, it'd be like, oh, man. And people are like, oh, you got fired, right? Mm-hmm. Today, your ass, you ain't got, look, at the end of the day, like I used to tell my team when they got paid, I said, look, whose name is on the check?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, your name is paid to who? But at the bottom of the check, where is it coming from?
Yeah.
Right? It's coming from the company. So at the end of the day, they get rid of it ain't my company. All right? Even though I'm your boss, it ain't mine. Right? So at the end of the day, these people get rid of your ass in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
All right? And then everybody will throw a party and say, oh, you were the greatest thing and I'm so sorry what happened to you and this and that. And then they'll turn their backs and they'll keep moving forward.
Yes.
And you'll be a memory. Right? You'll be a memory.
That's right. A distant one, yes. Yes.
Let me say this, because you obviously have been good with yourself for a long time. You know you, right?
Yes.
But in the identity of being a employee and being a entrepreneur, and in both instances exhibiting leadership, what is your distinction between the two? Because I think that for us, we talk to each other about empowerment and you should get your own and this and that. That's a lot of work. Once again, back to the theme that you resonate with, a lot of work, right?
Yeah,
what are the two diametrically opposed visions of leadership when you have a corporation behind you and a huge HR system and puts and calls and balances, and then it's you and you know that these people's kids is eating because of you or not? Or do you, like, how do you absorb that pressure, and what's the difference in those leadership styles?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's their realities, right? And whether it's me doing it on my own, or it was if I'm working for a major corporation or nonprofit, whatever else, it's a reality, right? And so we have to be able to maneuver within. Like, I'm big on facts, okay? I don't, emotion comes, but Let's live in facts. So you got to be able to maneuver with the facts. And so, hey, okay, I have the agency now, the autonomy now as an entrepreneur to do what I need to do. But I still have to be diligent. I have to be productive. I still have to make sure that I'm getting it done. And not just okay, but very well. Okay. And then if I'm working in a corporation or a nonprofit, whatever it may be, then it's the same kind of thing. I might not be the ultimate boss. I'm a boss over, you know, a unit or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But I'm still held to the task of making sure that I am producing and producing well above average, you know, mm-hmm. because again, it's about succession planning too, right? So someone behind me is looking at what I'm doing. So I've got to be able to not only prepare them for what's going to be coming up next. I'm not going to be there forever. Even if I stay until I retire, I'm going to retire at some point. You know what I mean? I need to be able to pass that baton and instill in everyone who needs to and wants to what it means to be successful and how to get there. Even as an entrepreneur, as a solopreneur, you know what? At some point, someone's going to come and say, how'd you do it? And I need to be able to tell them exactly, give them the blueprint for that.
My sister, how can leaders develop a stronger emotional intelligence over time? Because I think that's a lot that where people struggle, okay?
Yes. I'm so big on the pause. Pause, okay? You guys, it's strategic because you've got to stop whatever you are doing and take inventory of your surroundings and what's happening with you, especially with yourself. Right? Because if you don't, I know who I am, but everybody does not know who they are. So then stop for a moment or moments and figure that thing out. You know what I mean? What exactly challenges me? What makes me tick? What makes me want to move forward? What brings me joy and what brings me down? Okay. That's a part of being self-aware. Self-awareness is huge. You've got to be able to know who you are, you know? And then also making sure that you implement boundaries into your own schedule, that you know that when you say no, you mean no, you're not entertaining this nonsense, whoever it's coming from, and that when your day is done, your day is done. You know, so boundaries, that self-awareness component is critical, but also too, you got to be able to listen to somebody besides yourself. You know, because none of us knows everything, even with professional development, leadership skills and whatever, all that good stuff. Yeah, but you don't know it all. So be open to somebody else's opinion and then think about it. Listen to what they're saying and think about it. Those are key tools, I think, to really being emotionally intelligent and also helping you to self-regulate as well, too, because life is crazy out here. It really mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. So those, I think, are the key, you know, and trust yourself. Trust yourself. Don't let people come into your mind and speak that negativity over you. And then all of a sudden you don't know, oh, I'm not sure what I can do. Yes, you do. Trust who you are.
Let me ask you this before we bring this to a close. How important is it for you to embody the iron sharpens iron, or the fellowship of the individuals around you? Because if you have a lot of people that where you need to be the top dog and you need to make sure is you always the one they come to asking for money and all this kind of, how important is it to have a coalition of like-minded, like-hearted, good-intentioned individuals when you're in those leadership roles? Because a man, you know, no man can be an island. So what motivation or what advice do you give for people to make sure that they're putting folks around them that's not just placating and telling them what they want to hear?
Yeah. It's important to build your own village, right? Because half the time they're going to come to you. They're not going to come to you because, you know, they're thinking, oh, you the woman, you the man, so you don't need anything. But those are the ones who really need it anyway, you know, because I've made it this far. All the hurdles I had to jump through and all the stuff I had to, you know, to sift through. So I really need it, you know what I mean? And so you build your village. It is critical. It's critical to have people around you and to even like a mentor, even if you got to the top of the whatever, the food chain, you need somebody to talk to who has been there as well too. You know what I mean? So it is imperative to find folks who are like-minded, but who are not going to be a yes person, you know, and who are going to do, who will check you and say, you know what? That was wrong. That was wrong. You may feel good about it, but that was wrong. Okay. Because again, if you don't have anybody in your life to check you and help you to foster balance, then you really are living out here on your own. And ultimately, that's not going to lead down the right road. You need folks, you need people, and you need people who are not afraid to say, nah. Really?
Stop playing.
Yeah, nah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Final thoughts, my sister. Where do you want to leave the audience?
Oh, you know, that a pivot, even a forced one, or just one that's a natural one, is not about failure. It isn't. It's about, like I said earlier, evolution. You know, that means it was time. Whether you recognize it or not, it was time.
Amen.
So you've got to keep it moving. And as a Black executive, for sure, every time you step into a room, your presence brings about the fact that, you know, history is with you and behind you. Responsibility is heavy on you. And expectations. People are going to expect you to fail, and some are expect you to soar. But you've got to know for yourself exactly where you're going and who you're leading, and again, who you really are. And so your identity is so critical. You have to know who you are and love yourself, all of you, your race, your family situation, even if it's crazy, it's all get out, all of it, because it forms who you are. And just know that when you are walking in clarity and courage and control, that you are destined for greatness.
Wow. That's, man, that's powerful. That's necessary.
Is he giggling too, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Man, put something to it. Like, I know it. I did it. I know I did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she killed it. She killed it.
You might as well have mic drop. That's that mic drop. Yeah, I'm not. So, let me ask you this, because obviously you got a lot in the tank and we could only scratch the surface. The Bolton Lewis Consulting Group, where can they find you? What do they, you know, what do they come and ask you that makes sense? How do we get in touch with you to get some more of this goodness?
Oh, yes. I hope people do get some, want some more. But I have a website. It's www.boltonlewisgroup.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well, the Bolton Lewis Consulting Group. You know, just look me up, and I'm here. I'm here to help. Like I said, I love helping people, and I want to do that for a long, long time. So I'm here to help. Thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thank you, my sister. You was a blessing today. You definitely healed a lot of souls, and I can tell you, people who are watching this or listening to it, they're smiling. They got a lot out of it, and you've helped them feel a lot better about their situation. So Tashawn Bolden Lewis, CEO of the Bolden Lewis Consulting Group, we want to thank you for appearing on a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And the tidbit today, your pivot is not proof that you failed. It is proof that you're evolving. The most powerful leaders are not the ones who never change direction. They are the ones who have the clarity and courage to design a life that aligns with their purpose, peace, and impact. And you heard a lot of that from our sister, Tashawn Bolden Lewis.
Yeah, this was one of the top ones we've had this year, hands down. But before we wrap up, I want you guys to remember that A Black Executive Perspective is more than just one podcast. It's a growing network of conversations designed to challenge perspectives and expand understanding. So be sure to check out Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton, where Nasinga breaks down stories shaping our culture, our lives, and our communities. And then we want you to also check out Pull Up Speak Up, where bold voices come together for unfiltered conversations about issues, people, things, and matters that are concerning to us, where they're not afraid to discuss. We take the veil off and attack it. And then also, A Mixed Executive Perspective, hosted by Grace Rudin Corey, where she explores mixed identity, leadership, belonging, and what it means to navigate through this world from multiple lenses. Different shows, different perspectives, one mission, making uncomfortable conversations comfortable. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
So we also will be remiss all the time, every time. She said her granny say stuff. I'm telling you what my granny say all the time, every time. We will be remiss if we did not express our call to action, where here our goal is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we ask for everyone to embrace LESS, less. And the L stands for learn. You want to educate yourself on racial, cultural, societal, political nuances to make sure that you have the best opportunity to be successful. And it's always, like Tashawn said, facts, not feelings.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now you can be more empathetic to your friends, family, and people that you met, because now you can put yourself in their shoes.
And the first S stands for share. You don't want to hide it. You want to divide it. Share your insights and enlighten others. Bring them with you. You got to do it on purpose. Like she said, you got to want it.
Absolutely. And the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. And this is very easy. It's so easy. If Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate at the Sunday dinner table, instead of sitting there with your mouth open or giggling, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, LESS, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We all will see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
Make sure that you stay in tune for our next episode. Check the catalog out for our previous episodes. We got a lot of powerful things out there. Like I said, this might be on running for number one in 2026. So we'll see how that play out at the end of the year. But make sure you go to the website. Sign up for the newsletter, A Monthly Perspective. We'll be able to get that to you hot off the presses, and you'll love that. That is a wonderful thing we've got going on now. Leave us a review. Tell us what you want to hear about, and then subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. Where else can they find us, Tony?
My brother, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at A Black Exec. For our fabulous guest, Tashawn Bowen Lewis. For my boy, the co-host with the most, down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We definitely giggled about it. We love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.